I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
And for the fellas, Sean Bajani and B. Scott, along with Tyler Milner. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can send us a text, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Hit us up on the Twitch and YouTube chats as well. There were a handful of things, B. Scott, that kind of went down in the NFL Week 6 that I think have potential to impact the Texans going forward, at least in the foreseeable future, right? And one of those things involves a former Texan, Aaron Glenn, who's head coach of the New York Jets.
Man.
Who have since fallen to 0-6.
It is rough right there. It is rough out there for the Houston area native, former Aggie and former Texan, Aaron
Glenn. I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
Oh, yeah. Man. Rooting for you, though. Rooting for you, man.
13-11? Is that the final score this past Sunday?
Yeah, in a few three-run bombs.
Mm-hmm. A few three-run bombs.
Didn't they have, like, negative passing yards? Or at one point?
Fields negative 10. That's what he finished with.
And, like, I thought Kurt Warner was going to have a stroke watching him and trying and having to talk about this.
I saw you tweet something out, like, was it you that? Yeah.
Oh, everybody was tweeting about how, and Kurt Warner during the game was tweeting about, like, yeah, man, how bad is this game? How did I get a game where they don't throw the ball or can't throw the ball? How is this possible? Because you can tell that Kurt Warner's one of those, and he's not somebody that we talk about a whole lot in, like, the quarterback pantheon, obviously a Hall of Famer and a great player, but not somebody we talk about a lot for as great as he was, but clearly somebody who bad quarterback play, not just underperforming, but, like, bad play, holding the ball too long, making poor decisions, not being careful enough with the ball, maybe not being risky enough when you should. Like, just bad quarterback play to him is offensive. Yeah. And he was offended by what Justin Fields and the Jets were out there doing the other day.
I mean, you finished with negative 10 yards as a quarterback. You're going to offend a lot of people.
Threw so
for
bad.
45 yards, took 9 sacks, lost 55. Yeah. And negative 10. That was the number.
And then you had the game management issues on Aaron Glenn's part that weren't great for him. So the quarterback, the head coach, it does not look like the Jets have the greatest of head coach quarterback combinations based off of that game.
No, and we'll get to this a little bit later. But needless to say, look, when you're the head coach of an 0-6 football team, your name is going to pop up on coaches on the hot seat, like next up to be fired after Callahan was let go a couple of days. Was it yesterday, actually?
Yeah.
By the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, yesterday.
Glenn's definitely on that list, but actually behind, actually ahead of somebody that I don't even feel like should be on the list. We'll do that later. But I bring up Aaron Glenn and the Jets for this reason. I wasn't anticipating, talking about this in the first segment, or at least in the toss that we did with Reggie Atatula and John Lopez, but we were talking about, like, Breece Hall, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a handful of names that have been mentioned over the course of the last 48 hours or so that maybe the Texans could be in on. Breece Hall, the Jets running back, is one of them, and one of the later reports that I'd read a primary trade candidate because of his expiring contract, along with Jets linebacker Quincy Williams, who's another strong possibility, veteran expiring contract situation, and defensive tackle Quinnen Williams also reportedly could be on the move. Look, when you're 0-6 again and you have pretty good players that are on expiring contracts, yeah, there's going to be discussions of maybe trade. Well, Xavier Hutchinson was on my girl Kay Adams podcast this week. Love her. She's great.
You guys.
She was asking Xavier Hutchinson about some of these, you know, trade candidates, in particular, Breece Hall. Hey, X, what would it be like to have Breece Hall on the Houston Texans?
The more the merrier, right?
Have you talked to Breece Hall? Still?
I've talked to him, you know, here and there, of course.
Okay.
You know, when you get to the season, you know, you get a little busy, so, like, you can only really chit-chat for just a little bit. But, I mean, whatever happens with Breece's situation happens. If, you know, if it does happen, I'm going to be ecstatic for him.
Why would it be a good fit for him?
If it doesn't, I'll still be happy.
Why is there room for him on another Iowa State guy in this roster? You guys played together, I believe, 2021.
Yeah, I think Breece is just a dog. Like, there's no other way to really explain it. So the more that you can add just dogs on the team, you're going to be better, right? You're going to be in a better position to win, and you're just going to, I don't know. I'll just be happy with if Breece was, you know, somehow able to come to the Houston Texans. I feel like, you know, that'd be great.
So that was Xavier Hutchinson on the Kay Adams show, Up in Adams, being asked about Breece Hall. Breece Hall, because former Cyclone, they played together.
We got a theme going here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a few Iowa State guys, you know, so.
I'm here for it. I mean, so far, so good. Nick Caserio drafting Iowa State guys versus, you know, offensive linemen.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, the Iowa State trend is winning right now. But Breece Hall, I said this earlier, I didn't realize he was only 24 years of age.
Yeah.
And what, already this is his third or fourth year in the league.
You know who else is like 24? One rookie, Woody Marks. Look it up. I'm pretty sure he's no younger than 23, and I'm pretty sure he's 24. Breece Hall in his fourth year maybe versus Woody Marks in his first year, about the same age.
Good Lord, yeah, he is 24.
So I'm just that's not a knock on Woody Marks, who played 5 years of college and all of that. Like, I'm just saying, this dude is he's the same age as your rookie running back.
Yeah, and has about 150 days on Breece Hall.
He's older than Breece Hall. So how about that? There you go.
150 days.
I knew older. He was older than CJ Stroud. Yeah. Did not know he was older than Breece Hall, but that just kind of just paint the picture here of what you're talking about. Yeah, man.
Look, to me, it maybe it's about Breece Hall. It would make the most sense, I think, for the Texans, who, look, they know more than they're sharing with us in regards to Joe Mixon. But like I'd said earlier, Nick Chubb, he was already a question mark coming into this season because of his injury history. And there's a huge question of sustainability. Okay, you got Darian Gumbawala, you got Damian Pierce. You know what those guys are at this point in time. You're going to hit your wagon to a rookie running back, Woody Marks. I know he's looked good, but, you know, again, there's that old saying, one hit away.
Yeah.
Or you need somebody else. And if you could go get yourself a Breece Hall, I don't know what he would cost, but it's definitely worth picking up the phone.
Yeah, well, you've got the draft capital. You've shown a willingness to spend money, and it's not like it costs a lot of money. So, yeah, and this is one of those positions where I don't feel like you can have too many of them, especially if they're good. Like, I feel like you can have too many mediocre running backs or running backs that don't necessarily contribute. I feel like the Texans have done a good job, present and past, of having a lot of running backs. But when we talk about depth, we're really talking about quality depth.
Yeah.
And I think you can never have too much quality depth at this position, especially when the cost-benefit analysis, as Nick Caserio likes to talk about or did talk about last week in his press conference, when the cost-benefit analysis is in your favor. So this is something that I'm definitely into. Really, I'm looking over at the Jets as, like, you know, just the perfect bleep show where I'm trying to pick up. I feel like the Texans should be trying to take all of their good players, not just the Cyclones, but especially the one that we're talking about, Breece Hall. But out of all the names that you mentioned, A32 is on my type of time.
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams?
Yes.
Like, I don't know. And again, they've got the extra fourth. They've got draft capital. They can go out there and make a trade. if they could go out there and get Quinnen Williams at the one position where they might have some depth but might lack the quality of depth that you'd want, per se. Like, I think they got some pretty decent defensive tackles, but it's been a long time where we talked about that being sort of the soft spot of the defense or where they could stand to upgrade. And they don't have a guy like Quinnen Williams.
I mean, look, the interior tackle position for the Texans, you know, the past couple of years has very much been a part of what they've been able to accomplish in a D'Amico Ryans defense, right? Like, back-to-back years, you set franchise record for sacks, and you've continued to rise up the ranks in total defense and what you've done against the run. Outside of the one game earlier this year, who was at Tampa Bay ran all over your ass? I mean, they've been pretty good. I like the depth there, but if you can do better,
right,
and it's not going to cost a lot, then cool.
They've done everything that you just said, and you've always still felt like, man, they could still stand to upgrade at that position. It's not as a knock to the guys that they have, but just as an acknowledgement of some of the guys elsewhere in the league. When you think about interior guys like a Jeffrey Simmons, like Murphy, who they're going to face on Monday night next week, or when you think about a Quinnen Williams, like there are just certain Dexter Lawrence, like there are certain guys that you think about and you're like, hey man, that guy's different from what you normally see here in Houston. They have not had a guy like that, with all due respect to the guys that they have had.
Another thing that I noticed this weekend that I believe could impact the Texans in the foreseeable future, actually in 2 weeks, you've got the Seahawks on Monday night. And it's very much about that game right now. But just forward thinking for a second, the 49ers lost a key member of its team, particularly defense, this weekend. Fred Warner, who went out with, looked at the time, like a pretty gruesome left ankle injury. I think dislocation is the term that was being used.
His foot was pointed the way it wasn't supposed to be pointed.
Going to need surgery, out for the season. Sucks for them, obviously. You know, you've heard a lot about Fred Warner from D'Amico Ryans the last few years as a member of the Houston Texans. But, dude, you face the 49ers in 2 weeks. That could absolutely be a huge impact for the Texans. If they can go to Seattle Monday night and get a victory, get back to 3-3, and preparing for, you know, a 49ers team right now that, look, last check, it's top of their division. But I'm looking at it from this point of view. We know what the Texans, as they're getting right offensively, just did to a defunct, discombobulated, shorthanded Ravens defense. Dude, you take Fred Warner out of the equation for the San Francisco 49ers, that's a big-time guy they're missing going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an example of how around the league, whether it be by injury or just simple underperformance, and like with the Ravens from a couple of weeks ago, for example, they're a little bit of both, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were super injured, and when they were healthy, they weren't really performing up to their potential or expectation. And you're seeing a mix of that around the league. The 49ers, to their credit, seem to do this thing where they're always competitive no matter who goes down, because it seems like somebody always goes down for them. I can't think of a season when they've just been completely healthy. It always seems like something is going on with the 49ers, and they're able to plug and play and figure out a way to be a tough, competitive team no matter what. So I wouldn't, like, even without Fred Warner and understanding what's been happening with Brock Purdy, it's not a team that I would discount, because just because of their makeup and how they're built. But certainly it makes you look around the league and think that nobody is insurmountable or unbeatable, because something is happening everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
I would say, though, like in terms of facing the 49ers and that three-game stretch at home that they're going to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a win on the road against Seattle. And y'all were talking about this yesterday with Clint. You know, he's making this point of it being a fork in the road. The way I would have termed it is a turning point. I think we're saying the same thing. But you would be no more confident. You could be no more confident in this team than you would be if they were to go out and to win this game on Monday Night Football, given the opponent and given the context of their wins before now.
Yeah.
It would be the hardest one of their wins to excuse away to what the opponent looked like. Because this opponent is hot. This opponent has explosive plays. This opponent can wreck the game on the defensive side of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Like they got it going, right? Unlike the teams that you've already beaten, you go on the road, and as has been mentioned and will be mentioned more, I'm sure, this week, in one of the tougher road environments, at night, prime time, Monday Night Football, the way that this team is playing, and you could be no more confident in this team if you were to be able to pull that off.
All of the things that – have really been the Texans, and then from a historical standpoint, right? Like a bugaboo of theirs. What you just said, Monday night, prime time. How well do the Texans typically, you know, fare, you know, on stages like that? And then compound that with, it brings me back to the actual opponent at hand, the Seattle Seahawks, and what they just got doing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, say what you will about them. You might not be a believer, and you might never have been all along. But Trevor Lawrence is a guy that gets rid of the football quickly. They've done what they've done to this point. A little bit of luck on their side. But if we're just talking about football and executing, you know, the game plan at hand for a quarterback, he gets the ball out quickly. And to have pressured that dude 33 times, hit him 16 times, sacked him 7 times. CJ Stroud, why have the Texans been, you know, really successful over the last 5 quarters, let's say, offensively? What have you noticed them doing a little bit more of?
Getting the ball out quick.
Showing more of a commitment to the run game. Using a little bit more pre-snap motion, right? Trying to get the defense, you know, on its heels.
Run the football.
Okay. The Seattle Seahawks have shown a propensity this season. Like, this is just kind of who they've been. I don't know if it's who they're going to be going forward, but they know how to defend that. Okay. They've been able to beat some really good players in front of them and get to and affect what the quarterback is doing. And you're going to their place, a team that is playing good, sound, fundamental football. That's a really tall task. It seems like it's stacked up against the Texans. And we could talk about, hey, well, what the Texans have done really well that match up or create a disadvantage for the Seahawks. And we'll do that throughout the course of this week, I'm sure. But it's a little bit harder, I think, to find those things than it is to, you know, point out pretty clearly your own flaws.
Yeah. And look, you're going to have to be able to run the football, and you're going to have to be able to protect. Like, this is one of those things. And look, maybe it's just, you know, 3-step drop, get the ball out of your hands. And, you know, it's the one read. That's the one criticism of Trevor Lawrence, but it's also the thing that's made them dangerous. Like, when that one read is right, he's really good at hitting it. That's what they're going to have to be about. That's what this matchup is going to come down to. Again, we talked about this, man. Their strength goes up against what your perceived weakness has been. Are they better in that area? This will be the ultimate test to try to figure that out. And going from here will determine how much confidence you have in this team.
We'll get back to a little Texans convo later on. B. Scott, Sean Bajani in for Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner. T-Mills here, don't worry. Coming up next, if you're not pulling for these guys right now, you're not going to have a choice in about a week, and we'll explain.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
And for the fellas on The Drive, Sean Bajani and Brandon Scott, Tyler Milner as well. Hit us up, 713-572-4610 on the text line. Got a lot of suggestions, by the way. We're talking about wheeling and dealing ahead of the NFL's trade deadline. In regards to the Jets, a lot of people, Quinn Williams, boy, just envisioning like Will Anderson.
That's what I'm saying, Sean.
Hunter.
Bad MF-er.
Quinnen.
They got really good, solid tackles.
Yeah.
But you put in a guy like that, and that's the kind of tackle that they just have not had really in a long time. Certainly not in this era.
No, you're 100%. I mean, look, I'm not telling you that that's a ridiculous thought.
And it does feel like a luxury item at this point because you have the game breakers that you have.
Yeah.
But you've got picks. You've got a little bit of money. You've got – it's like when you're rich, you get a nice watch. You know what I mean? It's not
– maybe two.
Right. And this is not overindulgent, I don't think. I don't think this would be irresponsible, especially if you believe in – and I think all of us do – believe in the Texans defense the way that we do.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how the offense comes along, but it's certainly trending in the right direction.
The arrow's pointed up.
And if it in fact is pointing up and it turns out to be a complete team, one that's competing for an AFC South title and a playoff spot, then why not go all in on this team?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Other people fantasizing about Garrett Wilson and David Njoku. I even saw somebody tweet out earlier, it's like, boy, with the state of the Cleveland Browns right now, what are they, 1-5 and going through that whole Dylan Gabriel experiment right now? And it's just a matter of like when, not if, Shedeur Sanders is going to get his, you know, turn at quarterbacking that team. But they were talking about like possibly dealing Joel Bitonio and forgot their other really good offensive lineman up there. But it's like, what are you going to do? Like, you just drafted these two quarterbacks, and now you're going to get rid of, like, the people responsible for protecting them?
Yo.
It's very Cleveland Brown. I get it, so I would understand it from that point. But from a logical sense, it doesn't seem, like, worth the time to even discuss to me.
Everything about them is confusing. Mm-hmm. From bringing back Joe Flacco, like, the sequence of bringing back Joe Flacco, and it already, mind you, had brought in Kenny Pickett,
which
clearly that wasn't what they thought was the answer because they made so many other moves around that.
Yeah.
But you bring back Joe Flacco in addition to signing Kenny Pickett and then draft two quarterbacks and then trade Joe Flacco within the division. Mm. It just feels like it was very much a flying by the seam of their own pants. We're just throwing bleep at the wall to see what stuck. And like there was no real clear vision.
It's like they got hacked.
And this is the team that does have Deshaun Watson under contract, by the way. So like they're desperate. They're clueless. They're aimless at this position, at this quarterback position. They've done some really good things in building the defense. But when it comes to trying to figure out that key position, the most important one, they clearly have no idea what they're doing.
No, it's wild that people get paid a lot of money to do what they're doing. Pretty crazy, man. Reggie Gattatula popped in and kind of tried to put me in my place. And I said, no, I will tell you what to do, sir. I said, if you're not pulling for these guys right now, you'll have no choice but to, likely, in about a week. And I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners, man. They're up 2-0 over the Toronto Blue Jays after a 10-3 victory last night. And the Dodgers now lead the Brewers 1-0 in the NLCS after a 2-1 victory last night. I had these visions of the Mariners and Dodgers in the World Series, like where, as a baseball fan, sports fan, you're going to be watching this. Don't tell me you're not, you liars. You're going to be watching it.
I'm not.
And you're going to be pulling for one of these teams. You're not going to admit to it. You're going to call me crazy.
Also not.
But you will. You're going to make bets on it, Tyler. It's going to be
now
your
that
best
he's
bet
gonna
segment.
Do.
That I will
that
do.
That he's going to do.
It's going to be a part of your best bet segment in like 12 days.
100%. And I will place my bets confidently, and I will check back after the ninth inning is complete and see how I did.
Hey, check look, the box score.
I believe this, man. I honestly, I don't know how much of our audience is going to check in on this. I know you're going to be watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that I'm going to be watching. I know that Tyler's not, and I know that a lot of our audience is right there with him, still trying to figure out. We still watching baseball? Yes, we are. We like baseball. We are compelled by baseball.
And, Sports boring, man.
And also, like, postseason baseball is a lot different.
Yeah,
it's a lot different kind of tone and energy. We're into it, but this would be a less than ideal sort of matchup if you want to find a rooting interest.
But can
I'll
I tell
you in
you,
October?
Gosh, can I tell you that you don't have to be like a baseball nerd, a sports hardo to appreciate like what right now you could be watching. But what you could be watching in 9 days when the World Series begins, if it in fact is the Mariners and Dodgers, or the Mariners and anybody, it's about Seattle for me right now and what they've accomplished from the end of that Tigers series, that 15-inning game,
yeah,
to not even, 50 hours between game five and game one,
oh,
what
not
they
that long.
Did
yeah.
with their pitching staff to get game one over Toronto like they did. Was incredible. But to have a 2-0 lead in the series, and now they get to go back home.
Yeah.
Which that series will resume, I believe, tomorrow. Yeah, because tonight it's just game two of the Dodgers and Brewers. But the team of destiny kind of thing is it for me. And also, too, the greatest season in Major League Baseball history that we've ever seen from a catcher that Cal Raleigh's got going right now.
So cool.
Dude, it's incredible.
it's an incredible feat.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call it incredible.
You're watching history. And do I want to see, like, 2 months ago, man, I really hope the Mariners do this thing. No, I just wish the Astros would have swept the damn Mariners when they had the opportunity to do so. And then we'd be talking about, like, the Astros maybe in this position right now instead of Seattle.
I'll give Bajani this. Cal Raleigh has been incredible.
The big dumper.
But the Mariners ain't no kind of destiny, nothing.
Hell no.
They ain't no destination. They ain't no destiny. Now, they might win, but they will have earned it. Ain't nothing about the Mariners. Hey, where has destiny been over the last 25 years or
so? That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't get that feeling of, like, this is a team of destiny right now because...
Hell no.
They haven't done squat for, 20, 25 years. Would they win their first home playoff game since 2001?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And
that's why they ain't destiny. That didn't happen by accident, Sean. We can't do this, man. I'm not ready. Maybe I have to wait until they actually win the damn World Series.
It sucks to suck.
But if I'm going to keep that rivalry energy, if I'm going to keep that sports hatred alive and well, I cannot be over here tipping the cap to the whole Mariners. Maybe Cal Raleigh.
And you got to keep it healthy, that sports hate.
That's what I'm saying. Cal Raleigh is his own thing because, look, it's undeniable, right? For a catcher, some of the stuff he's doing. I mentioned that throw to get the guy out at second the other day. I'm like, man, that's the same dude that's got a bajillion home runs that's playing catcher like that? Okay, cool. Give him the credit. But the whole organization, I'm just not ready, man.
Maybe you got to wait until the Mariners win the World Series. I told T-Mill this earlier today. You just think for a second, if the Mariners do win the World Series.
Hopefully not.
That'll be the third different team in the American League West in the last 4 years to win the World Series. Rangers, Astros, Mariners. 3 out of the last 4 years. The World Series champion will have come from the American League West, the same division that people throughout the baseball world at all points of a regular season talk about being the worst division in Major League Baseball, you'll have three World Series champions coming from it.
I like you pointing that out because I also like that much better than the idea of the Dodgers being the first back-to-back World Series champions in over 25 years, yeah, or however long it's been since the Yankees did.
Come on, Brewers. Now you talk about Team of Destiny. Hey, you know, with Bob Uecker's passing, like, let's pull it all together, Milwaukee.
Yes.
Okay, win this one for Bob, okay, tonight. Let me see a Brewers and Mariners World Series.
But you also just settled this for me on who I would be rooting for, because we talked about this, I think, either in a break or before the show. Who would you root for between the Mariners and the Dodgers if you had to?
Yeah.
And now that you laid it out like that, it's clearly the Mariners. Even though I'm hating on them the way that I have been in this segment, I'm definitely rooting against the history that would be, if I'm going to have a healthy sports hate, rooting against the history that would be the Dodgers winning it in back-to-back years.
Back-to-back World Series champions.
Yeah, it would be the Yankees of 2000, right?
Yankees, yeah, I thought it was the Yankees. Holy
yeah,
crap.
Nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, we don't need to do that.
That was a long time ago.
That was, yeah.
Yankee turds!
All right, Sean Bajani, Brandon Scott, Tyler Milner in for the fellas on the drive. Coming up next, we'll dive a little bit into the Rockets preseason game number 3 tonight, and among other news items, got a lot to talk about in regards to the upcoming NBA season. We'll do it next. Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Let's go. I heard T-Mill spinning this earlier. I'm like, hey, what are you prepping this old school song for? Now I get it. Now I know.
So like pre-show prep, you know.
Always working, always grinding, man. That's T-Mill, Sean Bajani, B. Scott in for Ron Hughley, Clint Sterner. It's The Drive. Rockets back in action tonight. B. Scott taking on the Pelicans.
Let's go, Rockets.
Dude, just like that, like bada bing, bada boom, I think what, after tonight you got two more preseason games? And
yeah, I think it is just two. I think this is one and two, right?
I believe so. It's gonna
I think you have two more preseason games, including tonight.
It's going to be this is one of two. You got the Pelicans tonight, and you got the Hawks coming up here in a couple of more days, and then it's game on, regular season. Enough of this fake crap.
Yeah, bring on them champs, baby. I want to see the Rockets against the Oklahoma City Thunder to start the season, an early look at what you already know as a championship team because they just won the championship, versus what you hope is a championship, at least caliber team in the Rockets, given the personnel moves that they have made.
It's 1 week from today, sir.
Let's go.
regular season opener against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
If I had what we call the bandwidth to get out there for that game, it's actually going to be one of my regrets, is that I know I'm not going to make this game, but I wish I could be there. I want to see them lift a banner, you know, just to be a part of that experience, not because I love it, but because I want to see it. And then, of course, the basketball that I'm talking about. I want to be there for that. Hate that I won't.
You know, that regular season opener, Tuesday, October 21st against the Thunder, that's going to be the Rockets, NBA on NBC. How about that?
Nostalgic, man.
Yeah, you know it. You know the song. It was a John Tesh.
Yeah. If you are millennial or Generation X, right, like this is you. That NBA on NBC, them drawing that peacock, you know, dun, 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 you know, like when they first started, that is it. Yeah, man. Dude, nothing gets me going quite like this. I actually hate that college basketball on Fox was using it for a while, because I'm like, this ain't that.
Yeah, no, I
love
that.
Me some college basketball. But
somebody set them boys straight.
Yeah, this ain't NBC, and this ain't the NBA. Certainly not the 90s NBA. Hopefully today's lives up to it.
So I saw from Danielle Lerner earlier today from the Houston Chronicle, Rocket beat writer. She put out the broadcast crew for the regular season opener, Rockets Thunder, and
let's hear this, because
I like it.
Obviously we're not going, so gotta know who's gonna be calling the game.
Give I like me. It. This is an unpopular opinion, but
oh Lord.
For the reason you hate this, I like it. Mike Tirico's gonna be the play-by-play guy.
I'm good with Mike Tirico.
The analysts, Reggie Miller mm-hmm. and Jamal Crawford. Mm-hmm. I know you hate Reggie Miller like everybody else hates Reggie Miller, because you think he sucks analyst.
He's
but
so bad.
I don't care. I love Reggie Miller. I love Reggie Miller. That's my childhood.
Yeah, I don't dislike Reggie Miller. He's just not
I know you don't like him
broadcast.
Talking about the game. But look, Mike Tirico, that is a 10 out of 10. That is a win for me. The only thing that could make it better is if Kevin Harlan was doing the game.
Okay.
We agree
on this front.
So you got Tirico, you got Miller, you got Jamal Crawford, you got the sideline reporter, who I've never heard of before in my life, Zora Stevenson. And then studio host, my girl, sorry, Kay Adams, is my other girl, Maria Taylor.
No need to be faithful, Mr. Married Man here.
Somebody stop that man! Here comes-
And then studio analysts, former Rocket, Carmelo Anthony.
He is a former Rocket, technically. That is true and accurate.
And Vince Carter. I don't know much about Vince Carter as an analyst.
He's not good, man. He was on ESPN, man. They had him on, the various ESPN NBA shows, and he's just
some goofball in a hat.
He's just not very good, man. He's not good. He's not good. And I love Vince Carter. That's my childhood, right? And it runs together. If you're talking about the Reggie Miller era into the Vince Carter, there's some overlap there, right? So this is my era of basketball. Love these guys as players and overall basketball, historical figures. Love all of that. Don't really need them on my broadcast. And Jamal Crawford's probably better in studio than he is in game. I don't know if I've heard him in game.
I think it's too much.
Or how much of him I've heard in game.
To have two analysts with Tirico, you know, doing a basketball game, to me it's too much. Like, just have Tirico and one analyst. I would be good with that.
I don't know. I see, and this is where I'll defend Reggie Miller and say, I don't know if Jamal Crawford's giving you enough energy along with my, and Mike Tirico is going to give you everything you need in broadcasting terms, because he's a professional broadcaster, like the epitome of it. But I do think that if that's going to be the crew, or if Jamal Crawford's going to be in the mix, that you need somebody with Reggie Miller's energy. And that would be the case with any of those other guys that we mentioned too, whether it was Vince Carter or Carmelo Anthony. They're a little bit too monotone, chill for the, I think, for the color commentary, especially when you're trying to make the broadcast big, like they're obviously trying to do,
bringing
it back to NBC. I do think you need what Reggie Miller's personality has turned out to be fairly big enough on those broadcasts.
Yeah, I look,
as corny as I find him.
He might be wrong, like
as wrong as I find him.
And I find it just palatable, I guess, because I liked him so much as a player whenever I was growing up. But that's your broadcast crew for NBA on NBC opening night.
Real quick, since they threw two, did ask, when you say someone's not good, give some context. Does he stutter? Is he slow? What is it? It has nothing to do with stuttering. It's the analysis is not that great. His awareness of what's going on is not always that great. I don't really like, I feel like he's kind of corny. So it's the actual personality itself.
He's bare-chested.
These are the specific things that I don't like about
this
him.
This guy's drunk.
And to be fair, it's a matter of taste. Because like Bajani just said, doesn't matter to him, right? Like it's all good. He'll take the corniness. He'll take the within context, the fact that he's wrong a lot.
How long's he been doing this?
It's fine. Long enough, like at least six,
maybe
7 years.
Maybe he'll be better. Maybe he'll be better this year for you.
I'm going to watch it either way.
He can always improve, right?
It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, Reggie Miller's on the broadcast. Guess I'm not going to catch this game. Yeah. No, I'll be there to complain and to do all of the things.
For me, look, I told you this was going to be a little bit unpopular. This is very unpopular. I care way less about like analysts and play-by-play people unless it's like a select one or two.
Yeah.
In all of my sports, I'm very much a Kevin Harlan guy. Okay, it's somebody I've got to listen to. Radio, TV, doesn't matter. Love that guy. Tirico, he's probably like a distant, you know, second or third. And beyond that, I kind of don't care.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Jim Nantz, he's one of those guys where I don't mind like listening to, but I'm not going to turn the TV way up just so I can hear what he and Tony Romo have to say.
You just shut up and let me do my job.
No, you shut up, sir. I just want to watch the game. I'll watch the damn thing on mute for all I care.
I have found play-by-play guys to be somewhat repetitive or redundant because I feel like there is a little bit of a formula and a playbook that they're trying to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
And so not that they're all emulating the one before them, but they're all kind of playing by a formula, if you will. And so as long as you're a competent play-by-play guy, I'm not going to have a problem with you, and I don't have a problem with most play-by-play guys.
Yeah,
it is usually the color commentary guy that decides – for me, whether I like the broadcast or not. And to be clear, it's never a deal breaker for me. It's never like, oh, the broadcast is so bad, I can't watch
I'm with
it.
You.
You know, like we watch, no disrespect to any of our local broadcasters, but local broadcasts often are not as good, especially on the TV side. Radio is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But especially on the TV side, the local broadcasts often not quite as good. Watch it anyway. It's not going to be a deal breaker, but the color commentary guys can sometimes damper the experience for me a little
Whoever
bit.
The guy was calling the game last night in that Brewers-Dodgers game, I love that because a lot of play-by-play guys will kind of have the call like a couple of seconds behind what you're actually seeing on TV to make sure they get it right.
Yeah.
That particular play, that Muncy ball that he hit to center field, that you thought was caught, then it wasn't caught. Oh, then it was caught, but it really wasn't caught.
Wow.
Play. Like, he's like, oh, it's a catch. No, it's not a catch. And then the throw. He's safe. No, he's out. You know, like, he's living it just as you're living it, watching it on the TV.
Yeah,
explaining, I love that.
Explaining the absurdity as it's happening.
Yeah,
exactly
yeah.
As how it's happening.
I love it. Whoever that guy was, is it Joe Davis, maybe? That sounds kind of right, but I don't know if that really was him.
Joe Davis does the, would do the,
that would have been Dodgers
the
and Turners, right?
Yeah, so it would be Joe Davis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Davis.
I thought I recognized his voice. Like I told you, I'm not too up and up on the play by play.
Joe
guys.
Davis, by the way, very good, whether it's baseball or football.
It's
just one of those really solid. If he's calling your game, you're in good hands.
Him. I like Kevin Burkhalter.
You're in good hands. Most play by play guys, I don't have real I know Gus Johnson is a polarizing figure, but
he needs to do bigger games. I really like
I'm fine with him. You know, like most play-by-play guys mm-hmm. are, especially once they get to this level, they're good enough. They're fine enough.
Yeah. I didn't mean to turn this into like play-by-play and analyst, you know, like Judgment Day.
Yeah.
But
talking to the media nerd
well,
over
somebody
here.
Stop that man.
The one thing I like as much as sports.
I wanted to talk Rockets, but we could do that a little bit later on. Coming up next, we'll roll into the 4 o'clock hour, get back to a little Houston Texan conversation, particularly about a defender that just isn't talked about enough. Xavier Hutchinson made a really good point on exactly who that is, and we will discuss next. It's 4 o'clock, Sports Radio 610.
Nobody was harmed in the making of this audio.